And you can keep your seats, by the way.
Hosanna,
Good morning, everyone. I just want to welcome you this morning to this, our Youth Day. This morning, we're primarily focusing on our youth activity break, and it's lovely to see you all with us, and for any visitors, you're more than welcome. I just want to, before we open in prayer, I just want to look at our young folk. We have been so blessed with the young people that we have in our church. And youth activity break, I have such a passion for it because of these young folk. They're just an amazing set of young people. And this morning, I just want to lay that and just say thank yous for being you and for all that you've done this year during the youth break. You've certainly spent time with you has set my passion and my drive awake, and for our leaders as well. We couldn't do any of this without them. So this morning, just can we open in prayer just to get our service going. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've brought us here this morning to worship, Lord, where we can spend time, Lord, in your word, Lord, where we can spend time with you, Lord. Lord, I just pray for all the organizations in our church. I just pray for how you're blessing us, Lord. But Lord, I just want to thank on Youth Activity Break this morning, Lord. Lord, it's just an amazing time when we can go away together with our young people and spend time getting to know them and to getting to spend time around your word. And it's just such a lovely experience to be part of. And Lord, I just thank you for it. Lord, we thank you this morning for the Reverend Murray and for what he's coming to speak to us on. We just pray, Lord, that you will use him and guide him. And Lord, for those who are sitting amongst us today who are not in a saving relationship with you, Lord, I pray that their eyes will be open, the scales will fall off, and Lord, that they will get into that saving relationship with you, Lord. I just thank you for all that you have done for us, and I just pray that you'll go with us for the remainder of our service. Amen.
Thank you, Tracy, and thank you to all the young people for that singing to start with. I again just re-emphasize what Tracy said. If you're a visitor with us this morning, with some of the YAB people or whatever, you're very welcome. I also want to welcome again our convener, Reverend Richard Murray, and we look forward, Richard, to what you have to say to us. One or two announcements I'll run through fairly quickly for you. We've run a little bit late this morning. Elders' prayer time at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and we'd like to see you all back here tonight at 6:15 for the continuation of our youth services. And as Tracy said, the speaker tonight will be Mr. James Porter, who was the speaker at the YAB outing. Then just very quickly through the week events, Men's Fellowship kicks off tomorrow night at 8 o'clock when the speaker will be George Barclay. Tuesday, First for Kids is back again at 2:15 until 4:45. Our midweek then this week is with the Reverend, no, with Mr. Tom Dowling from the Irish Mission. And PW, please note your meeting at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. Then on Saturday morning, 7:15, breakfast will be served in the Lyle Hall from 7:15 to 8 o'clock. And then there will be a prayer time from 8 until 9, and all are very welcome to that. Only other two, three announcements I'll bring to you on the right-hand side is session and committee meeting for Monday the 13th of October. Take note. And last week's soup lunch brought in a total of £7,885, and for that we want to thank you very much for your generosity. And then you will notice that First for Tots, which runs every Monday morning, would like some helpers, please. Helpers are small on the ground, and as we heard us last few weeks in our from Bobby last week and also from Reverend Tom Shaw, it's good to serve in the church, and there's more than one way to serve in the church, and certainly we would like helpers in that First for Tots group. So anyone who would like to help, if they would see Gail Mills, Jenny Small, or Jenny Gilmer. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Robert. Just one more announcement with regards to the vacancy. I'm very pleased to report that on Tuesday past, a number of the elders plus myself went up to Assembly Buildings in Belfast and met with the Union Commission. And I'm very happy and glad to report that leave to call a new minister was granted to the congregation of First the Hockle. So that's the latest green light that says we can move to the next stage of the process. The next stage of the process is that voting members of the congregation can submit the names of any minister they may wish to be considered by the Kirk session for the congregation. And I would ask you to do that in the next week. And the session meeting is coming up Monday, tomorrow night week. So if you would do that maybe in writing to Robert or myself, that would be very helpful. And that's simply an opportunity for you now to say if there's someone you think would be good, if you want to pray over who that should be and seek the Lord and then put it in writing, then give that to Robert as soon as possible or myself, and we'll be able to bring that to the session meeting. We're going to stand and sing, Come People of the Risen King.
Thank you. We take our reading this morning from 1 Samuel. Sorry, I'm too close. From 1 Samuel 17, and I think it's pages 288 in the Pew Bibles. It's page 288. I'll wait for the fistling to die down. Now let's listen to what God's word. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socah in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damon between Socah and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up the battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with a valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and on his head he wore a his height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out on and line up for battle? I am not a Philistine. Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And may God richly bless the reading of his word.
Still will come. In the way, please.
Morning, everybody. Morning, Adam, son. He's the only one answered me. So, yes. Okay. I hope you've enjoyed music this morning and the video we showed there. We took note of everyone saying last year the photographs went on way too long, and you're absolutely right. So we decided to do it slightly differently this year. So that was Sam getting dunked in the sea at the end. We did a risk assessment before it, and he was the most fit of the older leaders to be dunked in freezing cold water, so I locked the door of my bus and he didn't, so there you go. Okay, this is where I get to explain where all your prayer and where all the money went this year, and I'm not going to take much of your time. Youth Activity Break this year went from 23rd to 27th of August to Rosnaula, to the CEF Centre in County Donegal. There were 17 leaders, 46 campers, and a speaker, James Porter, who is over from Conor Kell's direction. The weekend went as was planned. The Lord turned up, and it was a blessed time away. We saw a great work being done by him in people's hearts, and the way the talks came out, and the subject matter of the talks was exactly what we needed at the time. Should acknowledge here that Youth Activity Break is driven by the leaders here from our own church. It's spearheaded by the Lord Jesus Christ, but the campers' behaviour when they're away has a massive influence on our ability to be able to do stuff. And as my wife has already said, these guys are such a pleasure to take anywhere. And that can't be underlined enough. There's never any bad behaviour. We never need to ask them to do anything twice. And there's respect for people's property, and all the boxes are ticked with regards to that. So they're your kids, and we thank you very much for that. With regards to our speaker, James Porter, is from Conor Kells. He's been accepted for the ministry after his application earlier this year. And we wish James very, very well with that. We're looking forward to hearing what he's going to say to us tonight when he's here. He's not here to tell you himself, and he's not going to be speaking on the verse and the subject matter that he was talking about when we were away. The verse that he was talking on was 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, which is, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong." And it sounds nice, it looks nice. But whenever you read into it, actually what James was talking about, he was taking teenagers from the Bible and equipping these guys to be able to deal with stuff they deal with in early secondary school life, midterm secondary school life, university and college life, work life, and it was so relevant. Some of the stuff we were talking about before we went away, James was talking about when we were away, and it was exactly what these guys needed. But when you actually read into the verse, it's really, really, really relevant, not just for the campers, but for you guys as our congregation and for us as leaders. What does watch actually mean? Well, watch, you would wear one on your wrist maybe, or you watch the traffic and by outside, but what does it mean in a biblical sense? Well, watch actually means something very, very serious. If you look in Matthew chapter 26, and you go from verse 37, it says that, this is in Gethsemane, that Jesus took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation, for the spirit is weak, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." That word "watch" is either side of the Lord's turmoil in Gethsemane. That's how important it is. He wanted his disciples, and he took other disciples on out of the disciples and asked them to watch with him. Afterwards, he said, "Can you not even watch with me for an hour?" Okay, so the verse means watch. How do we watch? We pray, take stock of our circumstances, the people in our care, and we watch and we pray to look after them and to teach them, not just about stories from the Bible, but how they're applicable to their lives. And James did that absolutely impeccably well. We can't praise him enough for that and his time with that. About being standing fast, we know what stand fast means. To be brave, there's promises in the Bible. And one we're going to be singing about when we're lifting the collection is one song called Oceans. It's about getting out of the boat and being brave in the storm. Christ's already outside the boat on the waves. You need to get out of the boat before you're going to see him. And if you need him, it says immediately he'll come and pick you up. Isn't that right, Sam? He'll come and pick you up straight away. So moving on from that, we just want to give God thanks for the weather. You saw the day we were on the lake there. It was grey and overcast, but hey, they were getting wet anyway, so that didn't really matter. We stood in a wee shed by the shore, and it wasn't that cold. It was just wet. We were able to watch, and it was a lovely day. Also, there was mountain biking and archery and climbing and that done that day. That was at Coralie. We had the surf project came down and did the stuff at the beach. That was the sandcastle building and all the stuff with the surfing that you see. And that's actually not a business. That is a mission which is carried out all over Ireland. And John and Jono and Beth Griffin are the name of the two people involved in that. And it was an absolute pleasure to work with them on that day. They came down, and when they were leaving, they said that they travel the length and breadth of the country, and they deal with youth groups. And they deal with youth groups anything from the bad to the good. And on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being bad and 10 being good, he said we were coming in at about 9.5. Because he says that these guys never argued with anything. They did exactly what they were told to. They listened to the safety advice. They were pleasant, polite. There was no bad language. There was no bad behaviour. There was no dangerous clowning around. And he says when he walked into that, you know, wee room he was in? He says when he walked into that wee room, he just felt this buzz coming off everybody that was sitting there. So that's that good feeling that we have as part of our youth activity break. And again, they're your kids, and you're responsible for their behaviour as well, and we thank you for that. We had a campfire on Rosnoula Beach on the Sunday evening, and we just sat around a fire. It was a lovely evening. It was warm. Went down and played just in and around the edge of the sea there, just dabbling your feet in the water and one thing and another. Played some songs, and there was a bit of testimony given. It was just a really nice time on that Sunday night. One of the focuses of Youth Activity Break is getting down and speaking to the people when we're away with on a real level. And this comes from our dorm time, okay? And that's when the day's over and we get down before we go to sleep at night and we talk about what we've learned that day. We talk about all the experiences and the Bible studies that we've done and the real life issues and stuff like that there. And one of our campers posted something up afterwards about why do our kids fail? And this is a question that we take seriously ourselves as leaders, and you guys need to take responsibility for too as our own congregation. Why do they fail? First of all, they're not saved. So what are we going to do about that? Second, are we entertaining the kids, or are we actually training them for life? Do we just come and do church, or are we actually teaching them stuff that they can take into their daily lives and apply and learn and live by and be protected from the world by? And three, this is parental responsibility. Are we teaching them at home? Are we praying at home? Do your kids know that you pray at home? Are we reading the scriptures at home? Do they see us reading the scriptures? Are they reading the scriptures at home? Are they listening to Christian music? Are they watching television, which could be watched anywhere in a church? And what influences are there at home? Mums and dads, it's your responsibility for your kids' spirituality. And what's holding you back if you're not doing that? It's great fun to be able to do that together, and it's really rewarding whenever you hear your kids praying or you go in to speak to them in the morning. And they're sitting praying, and you haven't told them to go and do it. So I'm going to stop now, and we're going to have a short video. It's about 2 minutes long with some cardboard testimonies, and then we're going to go into the next praise, which is pouring the blood, and the kids will leave for Sunday school then, straight after that. Okay, thank you, folks.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence.
Just let's all pray together. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we again give thanks for this wonderful opportunity just to meet with you, Lord. And Lord, just as we gather around here today, let's pray for humility, Lord. Lord, you have seen these young children, how they have enjoyed Yahab activity, but Lord, that's just a branch of the tree. And Lord, just as they were saying earlier, just Lord, as that work spreads out among the congregation, Lord, just last night at the prayer meeting, one of our young campers just prayed. It was fantastic just to listen to him say that he wanted to talk to young people and let them know of a need of their Saviour. And Lord, it just was a blessing. And that's right throughout all the youth organisations within our church, Lord. It's an absolute privilege and an honour to work with these young kids because they are fantastic and I can't say enough good about them. But Lord, just as we come before you again, Lord, I'd like to give thanks for everything you have given, right, with health and food, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless each and every family represented here today, that you would continue to bless the work in this church. And Lord, as we look for a new minister, Lord, we pray your blessing upon us. Lord, guide us clearly through your word, that the man that you're preparing for us would come, Lord, it would become vividly clear to us who you would have come among us. Lord, just pray earnestly that the man that would be a man of God, a man of your word, a man that would lead this congregation to greater and mightier things. And Lord, just remember all our young people, Lord, we pray especially for the teenagers, Lord, as they go into university. Lord, there's many issues there, has already been said, and there's many issues dealt with at Yab and talked about, Lord, but we're continuing to pray for every situation that those young people would have comfort and strength in you, Lord. Lord, there's nothing we can do, but all we do is through you. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless. That work goes on throughout the year. It's not just 4 or 5 days in the summertime, Lord, but there's continual prayer. There's mentoring going on, Lord, and there's situations, Lord, which sometimes are very, very difficult to deal with right across the board with our young children at school and university and even into work. Lord, just pray, Lord, that you would continue to protect and guide each and every one of them. And Lord, we thank you for the wider church family here, for the support, again, as mentioned, financially and prayerfully. We appreciate all that. We can't do this without the support of the congregation, Lord. We appreciate all the help that they have given. And Lord, just as we continue, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Lord, just for the breath, because you know that you give us our breath on a daily basis. Lord, just thank you for every breath you've given us. And Lord, it's that breath that we use to pronounce your name, and Lord, to praise and lift you up. And Lord, just as we, in the stillness of this time, Lord, we just pray, if there's any unsaved among us, Lord, just draw near to them. Lord, challenge them. Because, Lord, we know there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And Lord, as Mr. Murray would bring the word later on, it would challenge each and every one of our hearts, whether it be to bring us to salvation or to chastise us in the word or to encourage us. We pray, Lord, that it would be a blessing to each and every one. Amen. The collection will be offered up. The collection will be offered, and just as everybody comes up, we're going to sing Oceans. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord, to our lives. We thank you for the opportunity to give back, Lord, to your work and to your kingdom and to the world. And our Father, we pray that what we have given today, you will take and use to the glory of your name. In Christ we pray. Amen. Well, I think our time's moving on, so maybe not. We'll just drop our next hymn and we'll just turn to that passage that Gareth read for us earlier in the service from 1 Samuel chapter 17. So if you have your Bibles, that would be good as we turn to this story. 1 Samuel 17. This will be a familiar passage of Scripture probably to most, if not all of us, from our Sunday school days, from our children's Bible days, the famous encounter of David, young David, the shepherd boy, the sweet psalmist of Israel, going out to slay the Philistine giant. And let me just paint the picture for you and remind you exactly of what is happening. And let's give our attention this morning to what God is saying in his word And let's hear what God is speaking to us here, because this is a very important passage of Scripture for us to dwell upon. You remember the story of the Philistine army gathered on one side of the valley of Elah. The Israelite army, the army of God, were gathered on the other side of the valley, and these two armies are facing each other across the valley. And you remember how for 40 days Goliath had come out something like 9 feet tall, and he came out every day and he taunted the army of Israel in the following terms. "Choose a man," he said, "and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." It would be a bit like if Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness went into a boxing ring and each put on a pair of gloves and each began a fight. If Martin McGuinness wins the fight, it's United Ireland. If Peter Robinson wins the fight, we stay in the Union. That's the kind of terms that Goliath was laying down when he challenged David to this fight. And that happens for 40 days. This giant of a man who's covered in body armor, he has a spear like a tree, and the army of Israel is paralyzed by fear. They're shaking in their sandals. They're dismayed. They're greatly afraid, says verse 11. And what I want to do this morning is to look at this with the eyes of faith and to look at our world with the eyes of faith, because there isn't just one giant facing us today. And for you young people in particular, there isn't just one giant facing you today, but there are any number of giants coming out to face us, coming out to threaten us, coming out to paralyze us, and leaving us dismayed and greatly afraid. And we feel threatened by these giants, and we wonder how we'll ever see them off, never mind defeat them. Let me just name some of them for you this morning. There's first of all the giant of materialism. That life is all about things, all about stuff. It's all about the money you accumulate, the property you own. And someone has summed it up like this: whoever dies with the most toys wins. When you're young, it's supposedly about getting an education. And education is important, and it's important to use your mind that God has given you. But it's not all important. When you've left school, it's supposedly about getting up the career ladder, getting married, starting a family. Those things are important, but they're not all important. When you're middle-aged, it's supposedly about getting golf club membership, if you haven't got it already, fine dining and cruising around the world. Those things may be important, but they're not all important. When you're old-aged, it's supposedly about getting comfortable pension for yourself, adequate health care provision, and a funeral plan. You've got those, that's what the world says is really important. But friends, they may be important, but they're not all important. John Piper tells of a couple in the States who in retirement bought a motor home and decided to travel in order to collect unusual shells. And he says, "Can you imagine them on Judgment Day appearing before the Almighty God, who is asking them to give an account of their lives, and they say, 'Look at my shell collection.'" They've kind of missed the point of the lives that God gave them. But materialism says, you accumulate stuff. You get as much as you can. That's the most important thing of life. See my money collection. See my CD and iTunes collection. See my vintage car and vintage tractor collection. See, I got the highest level on Call of Duty. See, I know every Katy Perry song off by heart. Couldn't quote a verse of scripture, but I know everything about some pop star or other, or some film star. You see, giant materialism is saying these are the things that really matter in life, the things you can touch, the things you can accumulate. Life is about getting. And this is a giant that will snuff out your life. The second giant is giant atheism, who tells you that there is no God. that you're an utter fool for believing there is a God, and this giant has been flexing his muscles in recent years. He comes to us with his Bible in his hands, in inverted commas. His Bible is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. His Bible is Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. Remember, it's only a theory. But giant atheism says, this is truth. This is the explanation for all things, that we're all just flukes, that we're all just random occurrences, that we're here because of nothing more significant than a mutation, and it's survival of the fittest. And sometimes we feel that this giant is just unbeatable. But remember, this giant isn't you at all. He's been around for centuries. He was around in Bible times. David quotes him in Psalm 14. David quotes the people in his day, 1,000 years before Christ, who were going around saying, there is no God. He's not new at all. He's put on new clothes, but he's not new. Paul's time, they were there as well. In the Corinthian church, for example, people were saying to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. There's nothing else to life. Just eating and drinking, there's no afterlife. You just live for the moment, and you just live as a functional atheist. There is no God. And we live in a society where people all around us are telling us there is no God. But let me ask you this. If you were getting on an airplane and you were told that in the course of this flight, you had a 50% chance of crashing, would you get on the plane? Would you get on the plane if you had a 50% chance of crashing? No. 60% chance of crashing? No. 70% chance? 80%? 90%? Who would get on a plane if it was 90% chance of crashing? Would you get on a plane if it was only a 10% chance of crashing? Some engineer said, that plane has a 10%, would you get on it? I don't think you would. You wouldn't take that chance. And yet the scriptures say there is 100% certainty there is a God. But people all around us are living their lives, well, maybe there's not. Maybe there's not. I'll take that chance. And giant atheism is saying to us, take that chance. Take it. The third giant that we might mention is the giant of sensualism, or what we might call self-indulgence, living for the flesh. This sin, this giant is on the march in a whole lot of ways. Let me name some ways in which he is on the march. He's on the march by way of gluttony. The government are issuing all sorts of warnings about the dangers of obesity. Life's all about eating. For others, life's all about drinking. It's on the rampage as well, especially among young people. It's expected that drink is taken as a normal part of life. Do you ever see in TV programs nowadays when somebody's in trouble? It used to be when somebody was in trouble on TV, you brought them in and gave them a nice cup of tea. Now you bring them in and give them a nice glass of wine. The culture has changed. Students, when I was at college 20 years ago, university 20 years ago, students went out clubbing at the weekends. Nowadays, students are expected to go out clubbing every night of the week. The sin of sexual indulgence is also rampant as well, fueled by pornography on the internet. People think they are free to sleep around. That's the expectation of society as taught in schools, with a few teacher exceptions. It's all okay as long as you take precautions. And this giant wants you to give in, to be swept along, not to take your stand for God, just to be the same as everybody else. Just indulge yourself. Live for your flesh. Do what you feel urged to do. Do what you feel driven to do. Just go with your urges. The fourth giant is giant of formalism in the church. Recently, a minister's wife was telling me she was heading into a ladies' prayer meeting in her church. And two ladies stopped her on the way in, and they said to her, oh, isn't it terrible about, and they named somebody who is in trouble, and they said about this person, you know, she really needs our prayers. Lovely pious words. She really needs our prayers. And the minister's wife was telling me she was amazed that these two women, even though the ladies' prayer meeting was beginning at that very moment, they headed out the door and they weren't going home to anything more important than the TV. And yet there they were mouthing the words, she really needs our prayers, but they weren't prepared to go into the prayer meeting and pray for her. Prayerlessness in the church, just going through the rituals, just going through the forms. Lukewarmness in Christian profession, unbelief and indifference and cowardice and lack of commitment, unwillingness to commit to a task. Giant formalism is standing up there and he is saying, you know, just do what I say. Just be a formal Christian. Just be a Christian in name. Just be a Christian and give every appearance of it, but don't actually let it cost you anything. That's another giant who confronts us today and who challenges our very existence because he loves it when people claim to be Christians but aren't Christians at all in action. So often the church is not the chosen people of God, it's the frozen people of God. But let me move on from the giants to David tackling the giant and taking a stand against him, so help me God, is David's attitude going into this. David has been sent to the battlefield by his father. He's been tending the sheep somewhere out in the hillsides. Three of his brothers are in the army. And so his father says to him, David, I want you to go and take a food parcel with you and see how your brothers are going. And he takes bread and cheese, that sort of stuff. And it's while he's there that the giant comes out and issues his daily challenge. Send a man out to take me on. If he beats me, well, we'll serve you. If I beat him, then you have to serve us. And the issue is the challenge. But David hears it differently to everybody else in Israel. And I just love this, the fact that David hears it differently. And David and the Lord is looking for people like you and people like me who will see things differently and hear things differently. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He should come and challenge the armies of the living God. Who do you think he is David's attitude. David is now looking at the situation with the eyes of faith. Everybody else sees Goliath, but David sees God. And he's not accepting the status quo. He's not shrugging his shoulders and saying, well, what can you do about it? He's not shrugging his shoulders and saying, well, we are where we are. If ever there's an excuse for people doing nothing, that's one of the sayings that people come up with nowadays, isn't it? We are where we are. David, however, remembers back. Nobody says in verse 34, your servant, he says to the king, has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. Now, I don't know about you, but if a lion or bear came and stole a sheep, I don't think I'd have been going after it. Here's some of my courage. I went after it and struck it and rescued. I seized it by the hair, struck it and killed it. Verse 35, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. See what's going on? He doesn't see the giant. He sees God. Just as in the past, he didn't see the lion. He didn't see the bear. He saw God. That's the eyes of faith now. And his brothers, well, they mock him. They say to him, who do you think you are? You're the youngest in the family. You're just a kid. Saul tries to put adult armor on him and try to make him up as a dressed soldier, and he's like a little girl. You know, little girls putting on their mommy's shoes and slopping around the house in their mommy's shoes. Well, Saul puts his armor on him, and David's kind of, you know, like the first years with their blazers, and their blazers are hanging down to their knees. Saul tries to put the armor on him, and David throws it off and says, like, I don't need that stuff. Remember, Goliath has got body armor. He's got a spear like a tree. He's got a gigantic sword. His armor bearer is carrying a shield before him. David is a shepherd, dressed in shepherd's clothes. He's no sword. He's got no armor. He's got no military training. And Goliath is insulted, verse 43. Am I a dog, he says, that you come out to me with sticks? This kid's like a stick. Stick insect. And here he is, 9 foot tall, covered in armor. And David takes out his sling. And still today, if you're watching riots in the Middle East, watch for the boys with their slings. When they're out in the streets rioting, they go out with their slings. They put a stone in their sling and they whirl it above their heads. And David whirls the sling. And he lets it go. And the stone flies. But you know, we're not so much meant to see the weapon that David had in mind here. It's David's faith we're meant to see here. Because in one sense, all he had was faith. Going out, it was a bit like, going out with a sling against this guy, it's like going out with an air rifle against a tank. It's just mad. If a tank came down the road and you were meant to stop it and all you have is an air rifle, people would say, you're wasting your time. And for him to go out with a sling, he was wasting his time. But David had faith. But he had to fire the shot. God doesn't do the work for us. He expects us to act. He expects us to step up to the plate. He expects us to do what he calls us to do. Could I ask, maybe there's somebody here this morning and you need to step up to the plate. You need to agree to that thing you've been asked to do and do it in faith. Or you maybe need to witness to a friend. Or you maybe need to say no to temptation. Or you maybe need to obey the call that God has laid upon your life. Or you need to repent of that sin that's been plaguing you. Maybe you need to take communion for the first time. Take your stand or get baptized. Or maybe you need to pay the tithe. Or maybe you need to go to the prayer meeting. And maybe you need to start praying in the prayer meeting. Or join a club or a society or a class or something like that and be a witness for God in that place. And you know God is looking for you to do it and you haven't yet done it. David's faith is shining brightly here as he takes his stand. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Take your stand against the devil's schemes. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel sandals, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and above all else, remember you're not.